Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you say that if we ask anything according to your will, you'll hear our petition. And Lord, I just get to see you work on so many levels, on so many days, in so many ways, and I just give you all the praise and all the glory, and I thank you for Good Shepherd Baptist Church, and I thank you for this opportunity to bring the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, with all that's within me and with all that I have, may lives be challenged, may minds be changed, may hearts be turned, and may souls be saved to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Okay, good morning. Still good morning. So wonderful to be here and to see just to be able to, I get to preach today, y'all. Today I get to preach one of my happy sermons. My kids are always saying, Dad, when are you going to get a happy sermon? Well, anytime I get to assure people, when I get to assure them that once you belong to Jesus Christ, we don't have a God who's tricky, y'all. We got to say that once you are bought with the price, he no longer puts you back on the marketplace of sin. You belong to him. We belong to him. And because sometimes, let's face it, y'all, sometimes you just don't feel saved. Sometimes either you fall into depression, and Christians fall into depression. Sometimes you fall into sin. And you're wondering, did I blow it this time? Did I blow it this time? And I'm here to tell you, and I'm not preaching what they call sloppy agape. I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He bought you with the blood of his son, and now you belong to him. Now, can you mess up and be corrected? Yeah, you better believe it. He said we have earthly parents who spanked us for doing wrong. So how much more God, the best parent there is, he'll correct you now. He will correct you, but he won't kick you out. When my son was real young, he's about 5 years old, and he asked me, well, what happened if God got mad at him and kicked him out of heaven? And I told him that God would never do that, to which he replied, he kicked Satan out. And I'm thinking to myself, now here's a five-year-old, and once I explained it to him, he got it, and you got people in the pulpit. Been in the pulpit for 30, 40 years, still talking about God might kick you out. He might kick you out if you act up. What kind of God you serve? You don't serve the God I serve. Not according to knowledge. You don't. We're in 1 John chapter 5. We're wrapping up the series. This is the end of our series on some things that you need to know. That you might know that you know. Some things that you need to know that you might know that you know. Because God's people, we need to understand what the promises of God are. We need to know what the Bible says, not what you feel, not what you think, not what you've been told. If it doesn't line up with the scriptures, you need to turn away from it. This is the last part of our series, and we're going to be in 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 15, and we're going to be talking about holding fast to the testimony of God. Holding fast to the testimony of God. And it reads in the King James Bible, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, emphasis added by me, that you may know, not that you guess, not that you hope, not that you think, not that this preacher said or that preacher said, God himself in his holy word said that you may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about holding fast to the testimony of God. Holding fast to the testimony of God. Have you ever had something of great value, be it a coin, a toy, a phone, a credit card, something of great value that you were out at a restaurant somewhere and you set it down. You set it down. And you're standing there, you could, man, I know I just had it. I just had it. And you turn around and you look around and your heart starts beating really, 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 really fast because you say, I just had it. And now it's gone. It's gone. If I gave any of you $1,000 bill for each hand, and I put you in a room with a high-powered fan or a wind tunnel of some sort, I believe that everybody in here, with all their might, would hold on to those $1,000 bills, except for those of you who are individually wealthy. The rest of us are going to hold on to those $1,000 bills. If you let go of yours, I'll catch my, I get it. Because if you hold them, you can have them. You do your best. You do your absolutely best. Your absolute best to try to hang on to that money. You do your absolute best to try to find that phone. You do your absolute best to find that lost coin. You'll call friends around. You'll have everybody come around. And you will do your absolute best to hold on to that. Today we're going to talk about something more valuable than the coin, the phone, or the credit card. And that's the knowledge that you're saved. That's the knowledge that you and I were bought with a price. That you and I do not belong to ourselves. We belong to Jesus. You were bought with a price. And today we're going to talk about us holding on to that testimony, to what God, because I'm saved because of what I understand from Scripture, not because I'm such a nice guy. But as important as that is for us to hold on to that knowledge, because it's, y'all, again, Christians get into some mighty sticky stuff. And we get kind of shaky. We get kind of wobbly in our faith. But I got good news for you. I'm here today to encourage you to hold on to your faith, to the testimony of God. But in the event that you don't, I want you to know God's got a hold of you. Amen. Amen. And his grip never slips. He never gets shaky. He never gets wobbly. He got you. He bought you. You belong to him. But the only shortcoming in this relationship is on our side. Sometimes we just get kind of weak in the faith. And today, I'm hoping that we can shed some light on why there is doubt and see if we can get that doubt out of here, y'all. Because when we doubt God, well, you'll see what the Scripture has to say. Today, talking about holding fast to the testimony of God, we're going to talk about receiving that testimony, believing that testimony, and acting upon that testimony. Or another way of saying that is, take a hold, take it in, work it out. Take a hole, take it in, work it out. That's what's supposed to happen when we read the Word of God and when we study the Word of God. Verses 9 through 12 in the King James Bible. Receiving the testimony of God. Or another way of saying is, take a hold. It reads in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Quick test. Who was the first president of the United States? Go ahead, tell me, baby.
I like this.
It's just like being back at CEF over next door, y'all. Amen. Who was the primary founder of Apple computers? Steve Jobs. Amen. Baby, any of y'all ever met George Washington? No, I didn't think so. Perhaps, maybe, have any of y'all ever met Steve Jobs? I don't think so. Okay. But you believe it. You believe Washington was first president, and you believe Steve Jobs was the primary man for Apple Computer. That's the witness of man. You believe the witness of man, but will you receive the witness of God, which is greater than men? That's what this scripture is talking about. And he says in verse 9, he says, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. God has given us a report. God has given us a record. And he has spoken about his Son, Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. This is the testimony of God, y'all. And you're going to see in this passage here where it says that God's testimony is immutable. That's one of those big church words, immutable. That just means it never changes. Whatever God has spoken, whatever God has said, it's not going to change. It's not going to change with the latest trend in how men wear their pants. It's not going to change with the latest trend as to who's the president of the United States, who's in the Senate, who's in the Congress. It's not even going to change for the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Amen. Here's what it reads. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, he might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor. Y'all, we need an anchor for our souls. He says we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's telling you that when God says to you, when God says to me, you are saved. You are now a child of the King. You are now henceforth and forever on your way to heaven. He says, otherwise he wouldn't call it an anchor for the soul. Because we get wobbly. We get wobbly. He says, but I'm going to give you an anchor of the soul. And it says that God did it by two immutable things. This is when God was speaking to Abraham back in the old, under the old covenant. And he was speaking to Abraham. And he says, Abraham, he did it by a promise and he did it by a pledge. Those are the two immutable things. He did it by a promise. He told Abraham, he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to take you, who you're over here, you're nobody, you're nothing. But I'm going to take you, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you. That was his promise. And then the Bible says that he swore by himself. Here's the pledge. God swore by himself. He said, because when we swear, when people swear, we always say, well, you know, I swear on my father's grave or something like that. That's what they used to do in the movies. I'll swear on my father's grave that I'll keep my word. And if a man made an oath, if a man made an oath, that was it between men. Because, by the way, folks, hear this real good. there was a time, and it could still be, and with some folks it still is, there was a time when your name, when your word meant something. There was a time when you didn't have a piece of paper. I work construction. Sometimes I see contracts that are 30, 40 pages long. Contracts. But you know what I found out? If that joker don't plan on paying you, you ain't going to get paid. A man is only as good as his word. And so men would make an oath on each other, and they consider it good. God said, there's nobody higher than me. So when I make my oath, I got to swear on myself. I like that. Oh, my goodness. God said, when I make it, so by two immutable things. One is the promise, which never changes. And the other is God's pledge, which never changes. God said to Abraham, he said, I will make a great nation out of you. That's important, y'all. And that's why we have to read the Old and the New Testament, because we have to know that God started the Jewish nation with Abraham. And we have to be able to look at the Jewish nation, and we have to see how at some times they were right on track with God. They were very obedient. They were doing everything. But then sometimes they were in outright rebellion to God. And we, as Christians, we have to see and we have to understand that when they were good, God kept them. And when they were bad, God kept them. Because it's his word. The reason I can stand here and I can say to anybody here who has believed on the name of Jesus Christ, even though we're in the midst of all kinds of stuff going on in our personal lives, I can stand here and on the authority of Scripture, I can say to anybody in here, if you have confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. You are going to heaven, period. Done. That's good news, y'all. That's good news. And just like God made that promise to Abraham, and he's kept it in spite of Abraham's descendants, God made a promise to you and me. He said, if you confess my son, I'll save you. I'll keep you from the punishment that you so surely have coming to you if you'll just confess my son. And he says, and if you do that, I'll save you. And guess what? I accept the witness of God. That's what I want you all to do today. Think about who is the source of this witness. It's God. And he says, you accept that George Washington was the first president. You never met him. You accept that Steve Jobs was the primary founder of Apple Computer. You never met him. But if you want to meet Jesus, all you got to do is call on him. Amen. And he'll come right there. He's right there. He's waiting on you. Nothing. He's waiting on you. And I got that on the authority of God. Receive this testimony of God. He promised it and he pledged it. Verse 10. He says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever stopped to think your friends, your relatives, and even us up to a certain point, every time we or they reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, every time you say, if you believe on Jesus Christ and call on his name, you shall be saved, and they've come into church after church after church after church, do you realize that every time they reject that message, that scripture just said they're calling God a liar? Do you hear what I'm saying, church? That's not me saying it. That's the word. Let me see if I can make this real clear. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God
hath made him a liar. See, we as Christians, we have a really bad habit of when people say, well, you know, I believe that Jesus is a good man, and I believe that Jesus was the savior of his time. He had the Christ spirit for his era, but he's really not the savior for everybody. He's not the savior for the whole world. And we say, well, you know, think about it a little bit. No, what you need to say is you just call God a liar. That's harsh, isn't it? That's hard, isn't it? But that's what the Bible says. You just call God Almighty a liar because you have rejected the free gift of salvation. In Galatians 4, 6, in Galatians 4, 6, in Galatians 4, 6, here's what happens when you believe God. It reads, and because ye are sons, because you have believed the report, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son, the Holy Spirit, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When you believe the report, you know why when we pray, we say, our Father? Because when the Spirit of God, when the Holy Spirit gets in you, when the Holy Spirit of God is operating in you, you just can't help but say, our Father. Our Father. Not their Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. He says you're going to cry that out. You're going to scream that out. Because guess what? You have become part of the family of God. Never to be put out, never to be put away. Our Father, he cries that out to us. And in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed the report? Isaiah is calling out way before Jesus comes on the scene. He's crying out in the Old Testament. He says, Lord, we're telling people about Jesus. We're telling people about your coming son. Sometimes I witness to other people. And sometimes they look at you like you just fell off the moon. And you say, Lord, who's going to believe the report? Who's going to believe what I'm telling them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Lord, give me the ability. Lord, I see people in such hurt, people in so much confusion, gender confusion, social confusion, just totally upside down, inside out, mixed up. Lord, how do I get them to believe the report? And he says, it's not your job to make them believe the report, but it is our job to tell them the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our job, church. And we need to be more about the work of our Father, because he says, I wish that none should perish. And to that end, he saved you and he saved me. And he said, now, I want you to get to work. I want you to start becoming more concerned about other folks than you are about yourself. Why, Lord, how can I do that? Because he says, I have promised to take care of you. He said, I have promised to take care. He said, this is what he says to the children of God. He goes, don't you worry about what you're going to eat. Don't you worry about what you're going to wear. And don't you worry about where you're going to sleep. God has promised you. Again, that's that testimony of God, y'all. God, do you believe it? This whole thing is about, are you going to hold fast to the truth of what God has said? Are you going to hold fast to his testimony? Because if you're going to hold fast to his testimony, when he says, don't you worry about your job, don't you worry about your income, don't you worry about your food. He says, I got a whole world of folks out there that I don't want to perish. But we're so busy doing this and that and this and that. A brother told me, in fact, I was even told this in one of the schools that I attended, about on evangelism and missions. And I'm sure you folks, if you listen to any Christian radio or anything of that nature, people will tell you, you know, you need to learn how to build bridges. You need to know, you know, you can't come up on people too much with the gospel because they're going to reject it. So you got to be real careful how you give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, you know, you kind of say, hi, my name's Willie. How you doing? Oh, good. How about them Cowboys? Don't mention the gospel because you're going to scare them off. Don't mention the gospel. Man, you know, that global warming, man, that's really something. That's really something. And then when you come back tomorrow or when you see them next week, then you kind of ease up on them with the gospel. But there's one problem with that, y'all. Who told you you're going to be alive tomorrow? Who told you you're going to be alive next week? Who told you that person is going to be alive tomorrow? See, there's no sense of urgency. There's little sense of urgency in the church today about saving the lost. We're more concerned about, do you have a praise team? What you got, Pastor? Give me a show. No. I'll give you the gospel. And I'm going to give you more gospel. And I'm going to pray that God opens the eyes and the hearts and the minds of the lost. And that he brings home to each person here the urgency of witnessing to the lost of all cultures. Even folks you don't even like, you got to give them the gospel. Folks you don't like and they don't like you either, you still got to give them the gospel. Jesus gave the gospel to people who stuck him on a pole, pissed him in his side, beat him till he was unrecognizable. And he still said, Father, forgive them. But I can't do it. I don't like that joker over there. No, we do what we're told to do because we know the testimony of God. Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. He says in verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 28 and 30 reads, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never, don't miss this, church. Please don't miss it. And don't let anybody take this away from you. Don't let anybody tell you, you can't ever know if you're really saved. That's arrogance. No, that's not arrogance. That's believing the word of God. He goes, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. To which the naysayers respond, yeah, but preacher, I know what you're saying and I hear what you're saying. It says nobody can pluck you out of God's hand, but you can walk away, preacher. You can walk away. That's what they tell me, y'all. They say, you know they have the audacity to say that about God? They say, preacher, if they don't want to be there, they can just walk away. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if I got 100 sheep, if I got 100, and one of them takes the mind to what? Walk away. When he said walk away, that means of his own volition. He said, I'm going to walk away. And what does Jesus, what does the testimony of God say, y'all? Not what your pastor said, not what your grandma said, not what your auntie said. What does the word of God say? He says, if the one takes off, I will leave the 99 and track him down and bring him back. Amen. That's good news, church. And you're trying to say that you can lose your salvation. How are you going to lose your salvation when God is on the, Jesus is on your trail? Like he can't catch you. Jesus can't see me. How's that work, church? And yet and still, how are so many people so confused that they still wonder, I'm just not sure. I want you to know, hold fast to the testimony of God. Stop bringing in stuff that's not there. Hold fast to the testimony of God. We talked about you receive it. You receive that testimony, which is to take hold. And then starting with verse 13, we say, believe that testimony. Take it in. Verse 13. Well, I'm not going to skip 12 because 12 is just so important. So direct. 12 doesn't even need any explanation, y'all. Just read it and believe it. Verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But what if the Pope told you otherwise? Tell him to read the scriptures. He who has the Son, he who has Jesus Christ, has life. And if you don't have Jesus, no matter how many rituals, no matter how much service, no matter how much labor, no matter what else all you do, if you don't have Jesus, you do not have eternal life. Amen. That's what verse tells you. Verse 12 tells you. So that's why when you read these passages, take them in, church. Take them in and listen and receive the good news. God, when you accept that you might lose your salvation, you're doing just like Eve did in the garden. Satan said to Eve in the garden, are you sure that's what God said? Hath God really said? And I'm sitting here and I'm telling you, God said you're saved. God said you're saved. God said you're saved. Yeah, but I was told when I was a child that I couldn't know. God said you're saved. That's why the word gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, the word gospel means good news. And if you haven't gotten that out of any church that you've been going to, then you need to get out of that church. Because it's no good news to be had. It's the same stuff you knew before you started going to that church. I hope I go to heaven. If you're banking on your goodness, good luck. Ain't going to happen. But if you trust in the testimony of God, oh, Lord, that's good news. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen, look at what he says here. It's absolutely redundant. I told you that you might know things that you need to know, that you might know what you know. Look at how redundant he is here in verse 13. The repetition. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of God. Believe on the Son of God. He says that you believe on the Son of God. That ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Why the repetition? Why the repetition? The repetition is there because it's emphatic that when you believe, you not only do you need to receive it, not only do you need to take hold of the word, not only do you need to take hold of the word, but you need to take in the word. He says, believe that you might know and really believe. When I first moved to Texas, one of my first jobs was I was working on the roofs out at Las Colinas. Some of y'all know where William Square is. They got the horses and all that stuff. Well, back before, when we were working out there, there was real horses, but there's no fake horses out there. And so I'm out there on my first day on the job. I had never done any work like this before, and I'm doing roofing. Now this building, this is not like somebody's house, y'all. This is a 26-story building, and we're putting copper sheets on the roof. And to tell you how steep the roofs were, I asked my boss, I said, what's the pitch on this roof? I said, do they have anything that's steeper than what these roofs are? And he said, Willie, anything steeper than this is called a wall. So I'm up on the roof, and I'm up here, and I'm with a bunch of country boys, and I don't know how to tie one of those knots. You know, they got these knots that they've been tying, holding up hogs and horses and stuff, and so they got all these fancy knots that they're tying up, and they tie the knot, and then they just drop over the side of the building. I mean, just kind of like Spider-Man, just right over the side of the building. And so I'm like, whoa, man, is this what I signed up for? And so the guy says, he said, okay, Will, you know, your turn. And he ties my knot because I don't know how to tie the knot. Here's a guy I just met. I just met him that day. And he ties the knot on my rope. He says, okay, you going over. Yeah, I've been fooled like this before, okay? Okay, we're going to have a joke on Willie today, okay? And I said, is this not going to hold me? He said, Willie, this knot will hold a horse. I don't care about the horse. What about me? That's what I'm interested in. When we're talking about when do you really believe something, here's what happens. I looked and I saw 10 other guys, the whole crew, and everybody else is over the side. And everybody else has got the same knot that I got. And everybody else, they're just working. You wouldn't even think they were 26 stories off the ground. They're just working, working, working. So I said I believed it. But until I stepped over the side of that building, I didn't really believe it, y'all. I was hoping. See, we as Christians, we got to get beyond I hope I'm saved. I hope that I go to heaven. I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope. At some point, right here in this verse, he says, you need to believe that you have eternal life, and then you really got to believe it. Because when you really believe it, and only when we really believe it, do we act on our faith. Do you realize that's one of the main reasons we don't even witness to other people? Because what are you going to say? Hey, would you like to go to heaven? I'm trying myself. Why don't you come on? Well, that's a great witness. That's a great witness. But once you know, and once you are thoroughly persuaded that the gospel, the testimony of God, is absolutely positively true, then you can stand in the face of your friends, you can stand in the face of your family, you can stand in the face of anybody, and you can say, if you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. And what else? If you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. That's why we have to, not only we have to take hold of this testimony, we got to take in this testimony. And then, last, we got to work out this testimony. We have to act upon this testimony. Let's go to verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about, we talked about receiving, believing. Now we're talking about acting upon it, working it out, working out. Now that I really believe, now that I'm fully persuaded, what do? I got to act upon this faith, y'all. Now, y'all know the first of the year is coming up rapidly. We're going to be coming up on January real quick.
And come the 1st of January, there's going to be a lot of folks. My son's going to do well in his business because he does personal training. And there's going to be a lot of folks lying to themselves, talking about, I'm going to go out and get in shape. I'm telling you, I'm going to go get in shape. And those health clubs, they just rake it in. I think they just live for January 1st. And then what happens, here's what happens to the folks who their muscles have almost atrophied. They haven't used them in so long. And then they go out and they do a half a push-up. And a quarter of a sit-up. And then the next day, they're in agony. Because they ain't moved those muscles in years. Well, at least since last January. Okay. And they're hurting, y'all. They're hurting. But guess what? For the faithful few who stick with it, there's a reward. They get what they're trying to get. There is a reward. Witnessing is sort of like that. When you first start, and you're talking to folks who you've never told anybody about Jesus. You've been doing your best to be undercover. You've been doing your best to say, Lord, just let me go through this life without anybody knowing so I don't have any contention. I don't have any fights in my family. You know, we can sit down and have Thanksgiving. And Lord, just let me slide on through. And then all of a sudden, not only do you get saved, and not only do you believe the word of God, but you've been fooled around and you really believe it. You are sold out for God. You are thoroughly persuaded of God. And now you like Jeremiah, you can't shut up. God's been so good to you. God has brought you through so many things. You can't shut up. You try not to tell anybody. You put a gag on your mouth. You don't want to tell nobody. I don't want to talk about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. Let me tell you how Jesus cured my heartache. Let me tell you how Jesus took care of my heartbreak. Let me tell you how Jesus, I had no money. Let me tell you about Jesus. And when you start, it's painful. It is painful. It's painful because folks are going to tell you to shut up. And not only going to tell you to shut up, but it's painful because some folks are going to shy away from you. And that hurts. But just like with your muscles that you've never used before, once you start using them and you keep working out and you keep working out, you know what? You develop those spiritual muscles. You develop those spiritual muscles to where you can contend. You can take the hurt. See, because if Jesus took the shame on my behalf, if he went to the cross on my behalf, and he took the punishment that was due me, and he took it, he didn't do it in a dark room. He didn't do it behind closed doors. He did it publicly. If he could do that for me, then I can show enough stand up for him in public somewhere at some point in time. He says, we have that confidence, that freedom in speaking, that unreserved freedom of speech. We have confidence in the testimony of God. Whatever it is, whatever that situation that you're dealing with, whatever that situation that your friend is dealing with, whatever that situation that your family is dealing with, it could be. It could be marriage. Tell them, not your opinion, but tell them on the testimony of God, Jesus can fix it. It can be gender confusion, which is real. Don't tell them because you think so, that it can be fixed. Tell them Jesus can fix it because of the testimony of God. It's written. If they're caught up in a situation of domestic violence, and sometimes, y'all, we think that domestic violence always has to do with, no. More often than not, it's here. I'm going to brutalize you in your mind. I'm going to play games with you in your head until you just can't take it anymore. Let them know, on the authority of God, Jesus can fix it. If it's drugs, if it's alcohol, will you please, if you really believe what you say you believe,
Would you please tell him Jesus can fix it? And then the granddaddy of them all, the one that is so often neglected because it's so skillful at avoiding the spotlight. Somebody who's caught up in pride. Somebody who's so full of themselves, they got to broaden the doorway just to get in and get out. Let them know, based on the authority of Scripture, Jesus can fix that too. Amen. What would stop us from believing the report? Turn your Bibles to 1 John 3, verse 20. With all this good news, with all this promise, and with the public execution of Jesus, with the public resurrection of Jesus, what would stop people from believing the report? And we look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 20 through 22. 1 John chapter 3, verses 20 through 22. And it reads, "Beloved, if our heart condemns us, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." I told you earlier, Christians get depressed. Christians get downhearted. And he said right here, he said, if our heart causes us to stumble, go back and read that testimony. If you ever get to the point where you sunk so low, you've sinned so much, you've alienated yourself from God so far that you think he won't take you, that you think you just may have blown it this time, you've gotten so far away from him, and your heart, and don't forget, the witness of God is greater than the witness of man. You're a man. And God's witness says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Tell it to other folks, but tell it to yourself first. Talk to yourself. Reassure yourself. Don't let your heart be troubled. What did Jesus say? You believe in me, you believe in God. Don't let your heart be troubled. Because when you allow your heart to take you off into different directions, it'll mislead you on every occasion. Follow what's written. Hold tight and hold fast to God's testimony. I'm going to give you one illustration from Scripture of a man who took God at his word, and he held fast to God's testimony. And turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. In this passage, first I want everybody here to understand, Abraham was not some Superman. Abraham was not a god. He was not some Superman. Abraham was a regular person like you and like me. No different. God pulled him out. Abraham came from a nation that worshiped false gods. He came out of the land of Ur, and they worshiped false gods. And God spoke to Abraham, and he said to Abraham, he made him a promise and a pledge. He said, I promise to make you a great nation, and I'm swearing on my own self. So now that Abraham, I told you, at some point we have to get to the point where we really believe what we say we believe. First we take a hold of that testimony. Then we take in that testimony. And now, church, in these troubled times, it's time for all of us to work out our belief in our faith in that testimony. It's a public situation. Here's what happened in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. I'm going to kind of jump through it, and I'll give you the highlights because I just want you to get the drift of what's going on. In verse 2, God said to Abraham, he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God said to Abraham, don't forget, God told Abraham, he made him a promise. He said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And he said, take your son, your only son. But wait a minute, I thought God had a couple. I thought Abraham had Ishmael too, Isaac and Ishmael. What did God say here? Stop listening to the voices and see what the testimony of God says. God says, your only son, the child of promise, Isaac. There was a difference. God made a difference between Isaac and Ishmael. God made the difference, not Abraham. And God said, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, and I want you to take him, and I want you to offer him. Now, get this part. Now, people say, well, you know, God told him to go and kill his son. God said, I want you to offer your son to me. He didn't say, go kill your son. He said, I want to see how your faith works out. I want to see if you really trust me, if you really believe me, I want you to go and I want you to offer me the most precious thing that you have. Church, challenge for all of us. We all got something that we're holding back because we don't want God to mess with that. Whatever it is, God said, give it to me. Whatever's hindering you, what's ever hindering us from serving God in the way that we should serve God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul, what's hindering us? He said, whatever it is, take it and offer it to me. Bring it to me. And then it tells you in verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off where God had told him, just start walking, y'all. God didn't even tell him where he was going. He said, just start walking. Start walking, and I'll show you. Church, just start serving God where you're at. Well, I don't do very well with this, and I don't do very well with that. Start where you're at. Start walking. Start serving. Start yielding your members to God. And it tells you, it says that Abraham, when he saw the place, he told the men that were there, the men who had all came out with him with the caravan. He said, me and the lad, we're going to go, and we're going to go on up. And look, don't miss this. Abraham, I told you, God told him to offer his son. Abraham didn't know what God was going to do, y'all. He couldn't know. But he said to the men, he said, here, y'all hang on to our animals. And when we come back, me and the lad, how could Abraham confidently say, when we come back? Because he believed the testimony of God. He believed that God had already promised him that he's going to make a great nation out of him. But I don't know how God's going to do it, and I don't know when God's going to do it, but I know that God made me that promise that he's going to make a great nation out of me. So therefore, whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to go ahead and do it because he has made a promise to me, and he swore it on himself, and I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. Amen. And then the Bible says that as they were going along, and when I was a little kid, I used to think that Isaac was like a little bitty kid. But when you read the scriptures, it says that Abraham put the wood, he stacked it on Isaac's back, because Abraham was old. And so he put the wood on Isaac's back. And let's look at the faith of the father and the son. He put the wood on the son's back, and he had the fire with him. And he starts walking. He's headed down the road. And in verse 8, it says, Isaac, before you get to verse 8, Isaac said to his father, he said, Father, I see the wood for the offering. I see the fire for the offering. But I don't see an offering. Don't misread this. Verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Wait a minute. Stop right there. God didn't say to Isaac that I'll provide myself a lamb. God didn't say to Abraham that I'll provide myself a lamb. Abraham, on the testimony of God, believing that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, believing that God was going to make a great nation out of his only begotten son, Isaac, Abraham said, don't sweat it, son. God will provide himself a lamb. I don't know how he's going to do it. Y'all, everybody here's got something going on in their life. Everybody here's got something going on in life. And some of the stuff is really, 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 really tough to deal with. But on the authority of Scripture, I can tell you right now, God can fix it. God can fix it. But he says, how sold out are you to me? And look what Abraham said. God is going to do the fixing. That's what he said to his son. And you know the rest of the story. He goes up the mountain, but I'm saying, maybe he, as he's going up this mountain, he's saying to himself, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. But that song say, I don't know how the Lord's going to do it. I don't know how the Lord's going to fix it. All I know is that, yeah, I know he's going to make a way. Oh, yes, he will. The Lord is going to do it. And all we got to do is shout the victory. Amen. Abraham got up on the mountain. He got up on the mountain. And the Bible says he was just getting ready to plunge the knife into his son. And he heard a sound. He said, don't do it. He didn't know how God was going to do that, y'all. Since we've read it so many times, since we heard it so many times, since we were kids, all of us who were brought up in church, we heard that story 1,000 times. Wake up for a minute. Abraham had no clue. But he trusted God. He believed the testimony of God. Not only when God gave him that testimony, when God said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, not only did he take it, he took hold of it, he took it in, and now he said, now, Lord, you work it out. Church, for everybody here, my heart's desire is that we learn to receive and take in. Don't just let that word gloss over you. Don't just say, oh, it's another day at church. It's another day at the office. Understand that Jesus shed his blood for every syllable, every jot, every tittle that's in this book. He shed his blood so that you can hear it. And he says to me, on this day, I got to let everybody here know, you can have eternal life. You, no matter what your situation is, you can have eternal life. And here's the testimony of God. Here's the testimony of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for your sins. The Bible says, if you believe that, yeah, but preacher, I still got some stuff that I'm doing. The Bible says, if you believe that, yeah, but preacher, I still smoke a little bit. I still drink a little. The Bible says, if you believe God's testimony, if you believe God, what did we say earlier? If you'll stop calling God a liar, if you'll stop doing that, you know what he said he'd do? I got a gift for you. It's called eternal life. And it's yours for the asking. Receive the testimony of God. God bless you.